This is KERA News. I'm Jerome Weeks. Creating spectacular acoustics was the holy grail for the designers of the Meyerson Symphony Center. KERA is taking a behind-the-scenes look at the building's 25-year history in a series called The Secrets of the Meyerson. It seems when they set out to replicate the sound of great concert halls built a century ago, it was a serious gamble. Opening night, September 6, 1989. Diane Kitzman was playing violin for the Dallas Symphony, which she's done now for 32 years.
The first concert we played, Consecration of the House by Beethoven, and it starts bum, 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 that. And you could hear the audience just gasp. I remember that to this day. It was an amazing moment.
It was the first time a Dallas audience could really hear the orchestra, and it was the first time Kitzman could really hear it while she played. In the DSO's old home, the Music Hall at Fair Park, the sound was muddy. In comparison, the Meyerson's clarity and warmth are plain. DSO music director Jaap van Zweden.
If you whisper in the hall, you can still hear it clear. And that is actually a quality only for the real great halls in the world.
The Meyerson was consciously modeled on those great old halls, like the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam. Those halls were built a century ago, before modern inventions like steel girders and amplification. Those inventions have made newer halls safer, bigger, and more flexible, able to stage things like Broadway musicals. But they've also led to often dreadful acoustics. For years, experts knew some things about why the old halls sound so good, but they didn't have a magical guarantee. Do this, do that, and your new hall will have the same marvelous resonance. So in 1979, when the DSO set out to build a concert hall to rival the best in Europe, they took on a major challenge. They hired Russell Johnson from New York as their acoustic designer, and that was a gamble as well. Johnson's firm, Artek Consultants, was not exactly well established.
They were working out of this apartment, and they didn't really have very many projects.
Nicholas Edwards began his career as an acoustics expert with Johnson in 1979. Johnson had designed two notable halls in Canada, which is what sold him to the DSO leadership. But Johnson and Edwards had some unconventional ideas, like the reverberation chamber. Mark Melson was the DSO's director of operations. He's standing in the reverb chamber, which runs around the top of the Meyerson's auditorium.
This is a big empty space where the public doesn't go. You can't sell a single seat here.
The chamber is hidden behind a decorative lattice and dozens of giant concrete doors. When the doors open, they connect the chamber with the hall, expanding the hall's total airspace.
The sound comes up here, and it bounces around for a second or so and goes back into the hall and gives the hall the wonderful warmth for which it's famous.
Acoustics expert Nicholas Edwards.
No one had ever done that before. No one had put a reverberation chamber onto a pure concert hall. It was invented solely to make the multipurpose hall work.
Then there was Edwards' real innovation, the auditorium's shape. The great old halls were built like shoeboxes. The Meyerson is more rounded than that, but it has the same effect. It helps bounce sound from the sides and the back to the listener's ears. But a hall's shape is usually the architect's decision. In this case, that architect was the great I.M. Pei. In an unusual move, the DSO hired Pei and Johnson as equals. As a result, they quarreled over everything. But Edwards says their disagreements were a classic case of creative tension. In the end, they got so much right in the looks and sound of the building.
What's astonishing about Dallas is that it managed to pull off both of those. Great architecture and great acoustics.
DSO conductor Jaap van Zweden is in a position to judge whether the Meyerson's acoustics met the symphony's ultimate goal to match Europe's finest halls. Van Zweden was the concertmaster or lead violinist at the Concertgebouw for 16 years. He's lived in those halls.
It's like a combination of the Concertgebouw and the Musikverein. The Musikverein in Vienna is a little smaller and the Concertgebouw is a little bigger. So my experience is that it is actually, from both worlds, the best.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.